Okay, we're picking up 10 lines from the bottom of Kuf Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, where the words of Amar of Nachman and Mar Shmuel. So the Gemara now says Amar of Nachman and Mar Shmuel, Cheres Ketana Mutil Talta Bechatzer, that if you have a small earthenware, like a shard of an earthenware, then you let him move it inside a courtyard of Alba Carmelis, lo, however, not in a Carmelis. So in a Carmelis, remember we mentioned that a Carmelis is an Isfid or a button to carry because it resembles our Sushrabim, however, Medaraisa, you're allowed to carry him in a Carmelis, but you're not allowed to carry in a Carmelis. So what is he talking about over here? You're not allowed to carry within a Carmelis. Rashi points out means within Dalet Amos. So obviously, you're not allowed to carry more than Dalet Amos, but within Dalet Amos, even there, he's telling you you're not allowed to have it, and you're not allowed to carry these earthenware shards because they're mukta. So why is there a difference between a chatzar, a courtyard, and the Carmelis? Because when it comes to courtyard, they have a function. Shmuel teaching you that the shards are allowed to be moved because there's common vessels there. You can cover, there's a lot of vessels there, so you can, it's a common thing to cover them, so you want to use them as a lid to cover all this kalim. That would be much better. In a Carmelis, where you don't have such kalim around, therefore it would be usher to carry. Rav Nachman he said his own shita, afilu b'Carmelis. He says, I hold that even a Carmelis you're allowed to carry, al versus Ram, however, not in a versus Ram. Why in a Carmelis? So Rashi explains because you'd cover the spit in a Carmelis, so you can cover the spit in the Carmelis, apparently that is enough. However, in the versus Ram, that has no practical function, it's going to be mukta. He agrees to that. Rava is going to be most maker. He says, "Amar afilu b'rishus rabim, I held even rishus rabim, you're allowed to carry." And Rashi points out that Rava's answer seems to be more of a lambda. So in analysis, the Rava's answer is that really be'etzem, since it's not a kli that's mukta because it's mutter to carry in a chatzar. So by definition, we can't change its status. It doesn't matter what location it's in. It goes after the kli. It goes after the fact that the kli is not mukta. It is defined as not mukta no matter where you're holding it. V'az the Rava l'taima in the story. Well, the and Rava follows his own shita. As we see another place, Rava Avikazel Bereska the Mechoza. He was walking in a marketplace of Mechoza. Asvase Maasanitina. So what happened was his shoes became very dirty. Asa Shami. So his gabai came, the servant came, Shakachasba Kamagabrede, and he started to wipe it down with the shard. I was lying on the ground in the Rosh Hashanah. Rama Bei Rabban and Kala, the Rabban said, what are you doing? Mukta. Amar, so Rabban responded to them, Loma says to the Gemira, Migmar, not Megemira. So he says that not only do you guys didn't learn the Sugya properly, but now you're shouting at others, you're Amaratsis, you don't know anything, and you're telling them the things you don't know, meaning they're upset. They're telling us Mukta. Rama says, not Mukta at all. So the Gemara says, Ilu Bechatzer Have, Milo Have, Chazel Liksu Be Mana. So he says, if the shard were in the courtyard, so would it not be fit to use to cover, like we said, to cover any of the kalim in the courtyard? It would definitely be so. Since it's not mukta in a courtyard, so it's over here. Hakadami chazal adidi, so therefore it's fit for me to use to scrape off mud, and therefore I have a use for it, and therefore it's not mukta. Now the Gemara continues a similar ruling. That if you have a lid of a barrel that was broken on Shabbos, then you'd be allowed to move it on Shabbos because this lid is fit, the Rashi points out, is fit to be used as a cover for other kalim, just like we saw before in the case of Rava. The Gemara is talking about halfway of our Bryce is supporting this ruling. Meguf and Shenitlucha, if you have a lid of a barrel that was broken, the lid and also the shards of the barrel are allowed to be moved on Shabbos. And you should not repair it, one of its shards, in order to be able to cover it with the kli. Or to support the legs of the bed with this kli. Rashi points out because that would be a problem of tikkun of makam patish. You would be creating the final blow over there, meaning you're finishing up a kli. So that would be the issur over there. And if you threw this lid over here into a garbage, then it would be usher to use it on Shabbos because at that point you have shown that it is going to be muksa for you. So the Gemara is maskeler of papa has a kashan that's elameata. So zarek leglime hachana mid usher. Papa says, what do you mean? If I throw my nice suit into the garbage, that's going to now make it muksa. So we see that a function like kli on Shabbos doesn't change its status if I throw it in the garbage. That's what he's trying to bring out for that. Even though obviously there's a major difference between my suit and throwing out the shard, which anyway was debatable, but his point is, it's the point. He's pointing out, he's saying that what do you mean? That at the end of the day, if something is clearly thrown out, it doesn't necessarily make it mukta. The fact that it's thrown out is irrelevant. If it's a kli or not, that's the ikr. So since this is a kli, it doesn't matter that it's being thrown out. So the Gemara says, therefore, Ilam or Papa of Papa objects this, and he says, if someone threw the cover in the garbage while it was daytime before Shabbos, then it's going to be usher to use it on Shabbos. In this case, the person shows that he doesn't want to eat it before Shabbos and will no longer be considered a kli. So now it's going to be considered a kli. However, you would agree, though, at the end of the day, day, though, Tosafot points out, he would still agree that if you throw out your suit, like we mentioned before, into the that itself would not make it mukta. And the difference over here is that you have something that's debatable anyway. It's barely used as it is. So since it's barely used as it is, if you decide to throw it out, that shows that it's now going to become mukta. Rabbi Yosher just extends this in very geschmack. He extends this in to a one-time use kli, right? A plastic knives and plastic forks and all those things. He said that would be in that gedder over here. Since it's debatable as it is, it's barely used, and the whole point of using it is that you don't have to reuse it. So then, once you throw it in the garbage, he thinks for sure that's megala das, you no longer want it, and therefore it's going to come mukta. However, if you have a dirty plastic fork or dirty knife or dirty plate that's plastic, all these things are plastic cup, he thinks that that would not necessarily become mukta right away, even though you probably will throw it out because it's something that is dirty for you. But since you're not the megala das explicitly by throwing it out, he's medame to this gemara over here, very interesting halacha that comes out from there. He said in the name of Shmuel that if you have these shreds of reeds that became separated from a mat, they were allowed to be moved on Shabbos. They're not going to be mukta. The question is, my time, and what is the reason they're not considered mukta? Amar Rava Bar Amdudi Basparli. He explained me the reasoning, and he said, "Machtelas Kufa L'May Chazel L'Ksib Afra." Now, what's the use of the mat for in general? That is, it's used to cover dust. Rashi points out that it's used to cover the dust on the ground to prevent the dust from rising. So therefore, it's going to be that's the usage. So here too, Hananami Chazel L'Ksib Tinofes. So too, these detached threads are going to be able to be used to cover dirt with them, and therefore, since you're able to cover dirt, it is a functional use on Shabbos, and therefore not going to come mukta. If you have like a leftover of a talis, like it's not halacha is only when you have this type of patch that's going to be less than three etzbos by three etzbos, which is the minimum shear for a beggar, as we've seen earlier. Because that minimum shear, three etzbos, is considered not even for poor people would never use that beggar. So therefore, it's not usage for anyone, and therefore everyone's mekatzadas, and no one would use it. Everyone would throw that out. And therefore, it's going to become mukta. However, even if it's just used for poor people, that already shows us that it's useful for some, and therefore it's not going to be considered mukta. The Gemara now continues, Tanur Abban, we learn a Braisa. Shivrei Tanur Yashan, if you have a broken part, the shards of an old oven, Rashi points out again, an oven which is old is considered that it was heated up at least one time, because if you heat it up one time, then it would be hardened by the heat, and then the shards are going to be helpful. So that's the difference between Tanur Yashan and Tanur Chadash. Harenki Kolakim Tamil Chatzir. So then they're going to be like all utensils allowed to be taken out in a courtyard if, because again, that we saw the halacha about the broken earthenware shards. So Joseph just pointed out, what do you mean? According to Rav Nachman and Rava, you're allowed to carry them even through either the Carmelites or Rishus Rabbis. This was the Anachanami. That was a lav dafka only in the Chatzar element, wherever you're allowed to be taking them according to those shitas, you're allowed to take them. Versus Divrei Meir, that is the shita of Meir. However, Rabbi Yehuda Meir, ain't Italian. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you're not allowed to take these shards from the oven. Hayid Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov, al Shivrei Tanur Yashan, so he was made. That concerning these shards of an old oven, shenitala b'Shabbos, they're allowed to be taken on Shabbos. Val kisuyev, and concerning the cover of an oven, she'eno tzarech beis yad, that it doesn't need a handle in order for it allowed to be taken on Shabbos and not be considered mukta. You don't necessarily need the handle. So the Gemara now analyzes this pricing. Where's my kamifugi? What is the yisur machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? The Gemara says, "Am Rabbi, but osin main malacha, venosin main malachtan kamifugi." They're arguing about if the shards can be used to perform a malacha, something that helpful for use on Shabbos, but not the previous thing that it was used for before. Before it was used for heating up, and right. Rashi points out, lechasos piachavis, it's used for a barrel to cover that. That is a helpful usage. However, this pottery shard can be used to cover any kalim, but it's not useful for anything that's similar to baking, which is the whole point of the oven. So therefore, that's the shaila, if that's going to become mukta or not. V'azda Rabbi Yehuda l'taymei, Rabbi Meir l'taymei. And Rabbi Yehuda would be l'shitas, as we've seen in our Mishnah, that was the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. He held that the isur of mukta on these items, and it's going to become asur. And Rabbi Meir is, the stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, so the Tanakama, who was makel, that as long as any function Shabbos, that would be lining up with the Shita of Rabbi Meir, quoted in the Braisa over here. So the Gemara wants to reject the Maskev of Rav Avakashi on this. If you're arguing about the broken oven, about the shards of an old oven, rather, so then you should just be arguing over the shards of any broken item. Why are you bringing specifically this case? If there's no Chiddush in this case, it's just an example of the big Machlokas already mentioned in the Mishnah, then the Braisa wouldn't go out of its way to just specifically mention it and direct your attention to this case. It can't be that would be what's going on over here. So the Gemara now says, Elamar Rava, therefore Rava rejects his explanation, explains his own explanation, Beshivrit Dehai Tanur B'Kamilfig, regarding the shards of the oven in general with a different halacha. What are they arguing about over here? As we see in the Mishnah, Nasnu Al Pi'abor Al Pi'ados, if someone placed an oven over it means a mouth, but it's like the opening of where of a pit, or the opening of a cistern. Benasan Sham Evan, and he placed a stone over there to put them in the oven. And the oven used to be There should be a fire underneath the oven, like a circular type of huge challah pole, if you can imagine, like a camp challah pole. That was the type of ovens they used to have. And underneath it would be where they put the fire. Now, it should be insulated, because that whole area you want to be as hot as possible. So if it wasn't fully insulated, they used to put sometimes a small stone, a small oven over there. So when you had that, when you had the stone that you wanted to put in, if you did put that stone in, Rabbi Yehuda would say, Rabbi Yehuda says, Omer, imasik lamata v'nisak mamala. If someone could heat up the oven by lighting the fire underneath it, and the floor of the plate, and same thing when it comes to the other, when it comes to the boar and the dose, also the cistern, that both those things is going to be heated from that, then it's going to be tummy. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he's understanding that it's now susceptible to tumah because this oven can be heated in its current position. It's going to be considered attached to the ground, and we're going to see that Rabbi Yehuda learns that an oven can only be tummy when it is attached to the ground. The Gemara is going to analyze this and discuss this in a moment. V'im lav tar, if it's not able to do that, then it's going to be tar because at this point it's considered not attached to the ground, and then it's not going to be susceptible to tumah. However, Chachamim say, it doesn't matter if it's attached to the ground, not attached to the ground, it's going to be tarmei regardless. So that is, it nothing to do with attached to the ground, that is machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. So the Gemara is going to get into this relevance to Moksa, but the Gemara now first continues. The Gemara says, what are Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim disagreeing about? High crop, they're arguing how to darsh in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Tanar v'chaim yutatz, tmeim heim utmeim yulachen. The Pasuk says that an oven or stove that became tamei, you have to break it in order for it to become tahor again, and they're going to be tamei, they're going to remain tamei for you. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, what is this lashon of yutatz that it has to be broken? Mechuser netitza tamei, that only an oven that is someone attached to the ground, that's something that's going to be missing the netitza of being broken, that can become tapis susceptible to tuma. She'in mechuser netitza tohar. However, something that is not attached to the ground, it's not going to be missing netitza of breaking, then it's always going to remain tohar. Rashi points out, because the lashon of the pasuk of kirayim yutatz, the titza is only shayach by something that is binyan mechubar, that is something that is attached to the ground. And it's not mechubar, it should use lashon of shvira. But we see that pasuk, the pasuk many times will tell you shavar, that to make something tahor for klei cheres. So since it doesn't use the lashon of shvira, of breaking in that lashon, but it uses the lashon of netitza, of breaking in the form, that sounds like that's more of a destroying something that's going to be attached to the ground. Rabbanan Savar and Rabbanan darshan the pasuk differently. They say the pasuk says tamei milachem mikol makom, that they're going to remain tamei. I mean, why does our pasuk repeat itself and give you a rebuy to repeat that they're going to remain tamei? That means in all cases they're going to remain tamei. Rashi says that afapi, that it's so the chiddush of the pasuk is the fact that we repeat it, the afapi that it's not second kulturko, that the oven isn't fully ready, even that Rashi says is going to become tamei lefi the Rabbanan, and that's what we learn out. The Gemara says, but wait a second, what is Rabbanan going to learn out with Rabbi Yehuda's drasha? Rabbanan nami haksev yutatz, but at the end of the day, the pasuk says that it should be destroyed, and this implies that an oven in the lashon of that of being demolished tafka in the way of yutatz, it implies that it's attached to the ground is only going to become tamei, whereas if it's not attached to the ground, it shouldn't be a problem of becoming tamei. So the Gemara says, ha'ol idach kisa, the Rabbanan use this drasha in the opposite direction. They don't use it as dafka, like we're talking about which items are going to be susceptible to tumah or not, if they have to be attached to the ground or not. Rather, they're coming to say that it's going to include even those that are attached to the ground. It's a chiddush to say that it's attached to the ground is going to come tameh. As we know, because I would have thought the following, that since it's attached to the ground, it's going to be like the ground itself, and the ground itself is not susceptible to tumah. We know things that are attached to the ground many times are not susceptible to tumah either. Kamachron, therefore the Torah is going to tell us that the fact that it says l'lashon of yutatz is coming to teach you that even if it's attached to the ground, that's the bigger chiddush. That's the Rabbanan are going to respond to how Rabbi Yehuda had his drasha. The Gemara says, "V'idach nami." So what is Rabbi Yehuda going to do? Haksiv tamei milachem. At the end of the day, the pasuk says that it's going to remain tamei, which would seem to include that even the ovens that were attached to the ground, they're going to be like detached from the ground. They're going to be set to as the Rabbanan wanted to taina. The Gemara says, "Ha'ikid Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel." That lashon is for the drasha of Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel. What did he say? The Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel machlokes behesek rishon. The machlokes between Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanan refers to the first time you're heating an oven, el behesek sheni. But as for the second time that you're heating something, everyone's going to agree. Afilu talav itzavar gamal, that even if the oven is attached from the ground and it's meaning lashon literally that it's hung from the neck of a camel, then it's going to it's still going to remain susceptible to tumah. That is what the lashon of tmei milachem is coming to teach you, that even according to Yehuda is going to be moda, that as long as you had it attached to the ground at the original point where you created the shame oven, where it was now an oven, you heat it up while it's attached to the ground. Even if you later decide to remove it and now detach it from the ground, Rabbi Yehuda would say that it would remain tamei as long as you're keeping it there, and that's the lashon of tamei lachem. That's what it's coming to Barabbah, that normally only if it's attached to the ground. However, if it was originally attached to the ground, that creates the shame that it was attached to the ground, and then if it later becomes detached, it would be still susceptible to tumah lefi Rabbi Yehuda. That is the chiddush of the pasuk. So the Gemara now says, Amar Ula vehesek rishon l'rabbanan afilu talay b'tzavar gamal. Now, according to this, that the heating, according to the Rabbanan, who don't require it to be attached to the ground, they're going to say that even if it is from the even if it originally is detached from the ground, it is going to be something that is going to be susceptible to tumah. Now we see from here that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a new oven doesn't become a kli with regards to tumah unless it is attached from the ground from the hesek rishon. That's what we see over there, and that is going to be Rava is saying that this very machlokas is going to be the laws of mukta as well. That the Brisa is telling us that when it comes to the kalim, when it comes to the shards of the oven, specifically of the tanur, that it was heated up for the first time while it's attached from the ground, and then it broke. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that the oven, at the end of the day, since while it was still functioning as an oven, that the shards are going to be considered kalim, and therefore they are going to be considered mukta. However, Rabbi Meir is going to hold with like the Rabbanan, and they're going to say that the oven is a kli, and therefore when it breaks, it's not going to be mukta. Right? It's going to be something that has a function, because it's still a kli. Now the Gemara says, "Maski for Ravashi." Ravashi has a kasha on this whole explanation. Yachiv, this is the case. Atamifligi b'shivrei tanur. You're coming in this whole machlokas that are arguing of the broken parts of the oven, of the shards of the oven that after it broke. That's what they're arguing about, according to what we just explained. It lifligi b'tanur gufa. Why don't they argue on the oven itself while it is not damaged? It's a regular, full functioning oven. Hashta tanur gufa Rabbi Yehuda alo avin man. And then according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the oven itself, the way we're explaining Rabbi Yehuda, if it's not attached to the ground, is not considered a kli, that it can become tamei, shavar mibay, then why would you even have to mention the shards that they're obviously not going to become a kalib, and it's pashut that they should become mukta? Why do you have to mention the case of the weird case of the shards, mention the actual case of the oven itself? So therefore, Ravashi rejects this. Elamar Ravashi lo and kinemar kawa. Going back to originally assume that the machlokas about the shards is whether or not something can be me'in malacha or just any malacha, like we saw in the Mishnah, that it has to perform the same thing that it did before or not. So what is specifically the machlokas over here? Osa ma'ase tafka. Over here, we're discussing a case where the shards can be used as like this type of ceramic board that it basically, like, you originally had an oven and then somehow it's going to be heated like what, imagine something like a hot plate. You're like, you flatten them out, and then you can heat it up in that manner. So the Gemara, this was really the following dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was saying, I'm arguing with, even within Rashita Rabbi Yehuda, that it has to be done in Malacha. It needs to be done to the similar task that it was previously done for. So he's saying, L'didi afilu b'osin me'in Malacha. According to my opinion, even if they can be formed any Malacha whatsoever, that's okay. So that's, I don't even have a shayla. But according to you, in this case, you should at least be modemidi. At least agree to me, in this case, I can heat it up. It's used as a hot plate. I'm warming up things on this ceramic board. So why shouldn't it be the similar function? Even according to you, it should be me'in malacha, and therefore not mukta. Rabbi Yehuda, what is he going to respond? Lo dami. He's going to say the cases aren't similar at all. Hasam has seikum mibifnim. There, when it comes to the oven, while it was intact, it would be heated from the inside. Here, rahacha has seikum machutz. Where you're heating it out from the outside, right? The fire is underneath them, and you're putting them on top. That is very different. Hasam uman. Also further, when the oven is intact, how do you bake the bread in it? You bake the bread while it's standing, while it's on the top of it, from right, if it's vertically over the oven walls. However, hakalam uman here, when you're using this board, again, the hot plate example that we're using, it's going to be baked, it's not going to be baked in a standing position, it has to be lying on the top of it, right? Imagine the hot plate, you have to lie it down on that in order to bake the bread, so therefore it's a very different way of baking, and therefore you can't even call that me'in malacha. The Gemara says, hey, Rabbi Yossi b'shim, Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov, Shivrei Tanur Yashan Shenit La B'Shabbes, the shards of an old oven that was be taken on Shabbos, Al Kiso She'inu Tzarech B'Yad, and concerning a cover that it doesn't need a handle in order for one to be allowed to carry it on Shabbos. Amar Avina, Kimat Gemara is going to discuss this later. Really, Kachavav. So we'll get back to this. Gemara says, Amar Avina, Kiman Metatlin Ha'ina Kiso De Tanurei De Masa Machsa. Whose shita we follow that we move our ovens in the towns of Machsa Miachsa to Einlan B'Yad Chiza, that they don't have any handles. Kiman Rabbi Lazar, we hold the shita of Rabbi Lazar, who is the shita that we're passing like that, to say that's much. Now we're up to the next more halachas of mukta. When a mukta object is attached to a non-mukta object, that is the shayla in this mission. The mission says, "Even shebikirua," that if you have a stone that is in a gourd, meaning it's used to draw water. Apparently, they used to use these gourds, different type of kelim. They used to use gourds, which are very light, and to draw water. So that since these kelim are partially lightweight and they float on water, you needed to put a rock inside the gourd, this type of kli, in order to make it heavier to draw the water. So now, with that in mind, the Mishnah says, "Imim malin b've'inu nofeles," if it can be drawn with the gourd, without the stone falling out, meaning it's securely fast, Rashi says, Mimalimba, then you're allowed to draw water with it. Shabbos Vimlav, Ein Mal, but if not, you're not allowed to draw water with it, because apparently, if it's secure enough, it's considered part of the kli, it's buttled the kli, and it's not considered mukta. However, if it's an independent item, then it's going to be considered just a regular stone, and we know a stone would be mukta machmas kufo to use on Shabbos. And where it says, Morashik, and the Mishnah continues, Morashik shura betafiach, if you have a vine that's tied to a pitcher, Mimalimba Shabbos, you're allowed to draw water with it on Shabbos. Rashi points out that you tie it to the branch, then you make it part of a kli, and that's why it's mukta. Then where it says, the Mishnah continues, if you have a window shutter, apparently used to use window shutters in the time of the Mishnah, to open and close a window. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Bizman Shu Kasher Vitale, when it is attached to a building by a rope, and the rope is part of the shutter, so then, and it's not going to be open when it's using it, pokekin, but then you're allowed to close on Shabbos fin lav, but if you're not, then in pokekin, but you're not allowed to use it, because it's resting on the ground. When you pick it up, you would be doing something that's similar to bona. The Gemara is going to discuss this more with machlokas. That doesn't matter. You're allowed to do it either way, to make use of these shutters. The Gemara says, nan hasam. We learn in the Mishnah, even shalpi achavis, later we're going to see this Mishnah, that if you have a stone on top of it, opening of a barrel, mata al tzida vein, you can tilt the barrel on its side so that the stone falls off. If it was among other barrels, which it might break, so then you're allowed to lift the barrel completely and move it off. So that's what the Mishnah is telling you. They only taught us halacha where someone forgot the stone on top of the barrel. Where you dafka left it there on purpose, then the whole barrel is going to become a base for an object which is forbidden, and we know buses of our aser is aser to move, and therefore you wouldn't be allowed to move it even to shake it off. Rav Yosef Amar Rav Atzi Amar Rav Yochanan, he says no, lo shanu ela b'shochech, that they taught us all only with regards to one who forgot the stone on top of the barrel of Abba Maniach. If someone puts it there, even if he left it there intentionally, nasa ki soy lechavit, it become, we're going to qualified halachically as a cover for the barrel, and it's allowed to be taken off. You can move it. So according to this, according to Rav Yosef's understanding of Rabbi Yochanan, he's understanding that the Mishnah is talking lakula. The Mishnah is telling us that a case where the stone was left on top of the barrel. The qualification that we're saying that if it left is there unintentionally, we're assuming that if you lift the stone and replace it, you're using it, that would be a mutter use of this, and that would be mutter according to the second version. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, most vinan ashmaitim, we can ask a kasha, though on the version of Rabbi Yochanan from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Evan Shapikirua, our Mishnah says that if you have a stone that was made out of the gourd, so if it's tightly on, then you're allowed to move it. What do we see from the Mishnah? That we see that if a stone is placed, it becomes part of the utensil, if not, it's going to become muktzah. So isn't it clear that it would become basas adavar asur if it wasn't there tightly? So the Gemara says below, he knows. So that's not a contradiction, because hasam kevan dehadka shnuya dofen, for where the Mishnah's case where a person puts it on securely, so then he made it part of the actual cleat. In our case, however, just putting on the top, that would make it a basas adavar asur. So apparently, the Gemara's kasha was from the fact that our Mishnah allows you to do that, and we assume that the stone doesn't become muktzah, so then it becomes part of the cleat. That was the riot. That was the kash. I don't know if I said that clearly before, so just clarifying that again. Going back, that was kash. Was that the Evan does not become mukta? And the Gemara answered why the Evan is different fundamentally in the two Mishnayos. In other words, the Amar of Yosef, we can ask a question though. Masvin Hashmaitin, we can ask from the Hemshech or Mishnah the other way around. Imlav in Malimba, that if you can't take out water from the shell, it's going to be mukta, and you're not allowed to move it. So we see from here that something that is placed on a kli and not strong, it's going to become mukta. So shouldn't that be a raya that it'll be a basis davar asur, and you're not allowed to move it, like the first version of Yochanan against the second version of Yochanan? The Gemara says no, that's not true. Hasam kevan de lo hadka betulei batla. In the case of there, the Mishnah case, since you didn't put it on properly, then you're nullifying its din, and therefore it's going to be considered unusable for drawing water. In that case, it's going to be a mukta. However, in our case, just putting on the top, that would be enough to designate it as a kli, as a lid rather, and therefore, since it's a lid, it's going to be mukta. Where's the Michael? What are they fundamentally disagreeing? Masav Rambina and Maisa. The Rabba in the name of Rami, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he holds that you need an actual Maisa in order to take this stone out of its status of mukta machmas gufo, not to have it to give it a usage on Shabbos. Whereas Rav Yosef, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Asi, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he's going to hold that you don't necessarily need a full fledged ma'isa, and doing something even insignificant would make it not mukta. So the Gemara says va'azul tamayim, and Rav Amin Yochanan, they went l'shitasam in a different example. What did they do? Because what did they say? They said the chiyaser of dimi amar bechanina ve'amar abizir amar bechanina. Pamachas halach Rabbi l'makom echad. Once Rabbi was going to a certain place, umata nidbach shel avanim, and he found a row of stones that had been, apparently they were planning on using that to build a building, and so then therefore they would originally be books. Amar l'tamidav, and he told his students to v'chashu kiddush nechashal l'machas. So go there and have in mind that we're going to use those things. We'll use that. I'll give shir there tomorrow, and everyone should sit down and listen to the shir. And Rebbe is this part, the Iker point. Rebbe didn't require them to do a formal act. And according to this, we see that Rebbe, to go to the stones, and then he doesn't tell them to actually do a formal act, and so therefore, we don't need a formal act to prepare to make them the stones, not mukts anymore. The word says, Rebbe Yochanan Amar HaTzrichlan, Rebbe the Maisner, Rebbe Yochanan would say that he did require them to do an act, so he says, what did he tell them? So he said, what, I mean, according to Rebbe Yochanan, what did Rebbe tell them to do? Rebbe Amar, he said, Su Velamdim Lahu. He says, go and put the stones in the way, form the benches in a situation so that you don't have to move them on Shabbos. He said, go clean them down because they're very dirty, they're whatever, they're dusty, they're dirty, make sure people are comfortable sitting there. So we see that Rav Asi is holding that even a Maisa Katan would be enough, like wiping the stone is enough to consider it a kli, whereas Rav Ami hold that that's not going to be enough, therefore Rav Ami required them, the fear of Ami, he told them to actually set up the stones, that was considering a more significant act in order to remove its status from Mukta. So the mark is Itmar. So we learn it was said over Rabbi Yossi Ben Shalom Amar, so Savar shall chorus hava, that it was a stack of beams that Rebbe sent his students to doing that. He sent them out to prepare the stones as seats in order that, again, they shouldn't be mukta and they shouldn't get ruined. Rabbi Yochanan Mishalam are gosher shall sfinavu, that it was the thing that they used to use for directing the ships to check to make sure that there's enough water deep enough so that the ship can float properly. So that was what he had them, and they were going to sit on that, and therefore that was the chiddush. The Gemara says Mandam or Gusher, so one who told that it was talking about this the ship thing, Kol Shegen Savar, then obviously he was going to allow using the stack of beams, as we're going to see the chiddush. The Gemara says Mandam or Savar, the one who holds that it was stack of beams, Aval Gusher's Kapper, like no, but using this thing for the ships, that is something that could easily be ruined, and he would have been machmir on it. So therefore, this minimal amount would not be enough to say that it's not muksa, and he would require more formal maisa in order to take it out of its status as muksa. The Gemara continues, Mora Shik Shura. When you have the vine that's tied to a pitcher, you're allowed to take it out on Shabbos. Gemara says Shura in Lo Kshura Lo, that only if it's tied. However, if it's not tied, it's going to be muksa to use on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to draw water there. Lema Mastis and Dolokar Rangalil. Should we assume that our mission is not following our meal? The Bryce tells us, Chariosha Dekal Shagazan Aitzin. The Bryce tells us if you have hardened branches of the daypan and you're planning using it for firewood, and then you decide you're going to sit on them, you actually have to do a maisa, you have to tie the bundles in Shabbos, before Shabbos rather, in order to show that you're going to plan on using them for sitting. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel says you don't need to tie them, and therefore it's going to be enough to just show that you're planning on using them. And the bigger kasha is that we also, if you remember Daf Nun over there, that we actually paskin like Shimon Gamliel. So we have a stira that our Mishnah implies, not like the way we paskin from the earlier Mishnah. So from this braisa, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshes, Afilo Timur Rav Shimon Gamliel. If you can assume that we're following Rav Shimon Gamliel, what are we dealing with in our Mishnah? We're talking about the case where the vine is still attached to the grapevine. And even Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to agree. In that case, you have to have a more formal maisa. You can't just have machshava alone in order to use it. So the Gemara says, wait a second. If it's talking about where it's attached to the ground, you're doing something that is connected to the ground, and that's mukta. We know that something that's connected to the ground, a tree, is considered mukta. You're not even allowed to lean on it because you're afraid that someone's going to eventually come to take off an orange or an apple from the tree, and that would be violating the law of of Kotzer. We told us that we lach of Kotzer. So why don't we assume that this is mukta? So what are you doing? How are you touching this? The Gemara says and moving it. The Gemara says lamata mishlosha. We're talking about a short vine that was in three tefachim on the ground. If it's in three tefachim on the ground, and it's going to be viewed as a ground and not as a separate entity. The Gemara says Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Tema Petlusha. Rav Ashi says you can even assume we're talking about a detached vine. Gzira Shema Yaktum. We're afraid that we're going to say that. Well, why should it be mukta? Because we're afraid someone will eventually see that the vines are too long and he's going to cut it down to cut it properly, and that would be either mechatech or mechakatech. But he would be doing that, and that would be violating the Isra over there. The Gemara says, "Kaka chachalon." If you have a window shutter, Rabbi Lezer says that he had that whole gedder, and the Chachamim disagreed with him. He said you're allowed to move it. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Modim Sheinos in Oel Arai Betchila BeYomtiv." Everyone agrees you're not allowed to make even a temporary structure on Yomtiv in Tzarchlam Shabbos. Obviously, Kol Shekain, it'd be usher to do that on Shabbos. And right again, this is talking about putting the top part. It's all about the gag. It's all about the roof. So you're not allowed to Put something over an enclosure and spread it over it, spread a mat over a roof over like four walls, that would be considered an oval, right? And that's what's usher to do on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, L'netazu el ha-hosif, their machlokas over here is whether you're allowed to add to already existing structure. If you had half of your, half of, imagine like a sukkah with a cloth on the top of the schach, as you're halfway through, can you continue rolling it out? Shabbalezra, I'm going to eat most of it. Says you're not allowed to extend it, but it's ain't tarachlam Shabbos, and obviously it's usher on Shabbos. V'chacham elrim, most even v'shabbos, v'ain tarachlam elrim, that they hold it. Just in extending it is not going to be usr. However, the chachamim hold that it is mutter. It is it's going to mutter once you have an extension. Once you have it already there, then you'd be allowed to roll it out even more. That comes up l'maisa. So that actually we pass on like chachamim. So the gederim of that is a more in the hilchos of bona, but an ol. But that is a very important halacha that comes up for for different times. Let's say it's a big shaila also that comes up. Let's say on simplest Torah that comes up by using that big parochas thing. That how do you do that first? Okay, those are all shailas that come up from the ol or I. Mirtzah Shem will pick up with the hamshach of the gemara. Tomorrow.